Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
I can't wait for Tausch to help explain why Jeff Hafley answered my Rashawn Gary question the way he did. There was axe throwing, and sources close to the program indicate that at least one person who had said he was not going to be in attendance may have shown up anyway from this program edition. And of course, the everything we do on Fridays, we do it for you, like the old Bryan Adams song. The green and gold game preview, headlines, the weekend preview, everything that you love as you get ready for Packers Broncos edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5. Jesse, are you doing the poker chips for the drawing later in the show?
No, that's old T fiddling at his undisclosed location here. That'll happen.
Oh, okay. Sounded like...
I don't want to get after him right away, but he's...
Oh, if I'd have known that was him, I wouldn't have said
anything.
Yeah,
thanks for putting me in that spot. There we go.
It's not 11:15. I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5. ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5. ESPN Madison, 1430.
All right, I turned
ESPN
them off.
Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from what I think will be a disclosed location, wearing a quarter zip with a zipper that rubs up against his microphone, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is a Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'll zip the zipper all the way up. I didn't know. So every time we hear noises, we mention it. Is that what we're doing?
No,
now?
I
because I'm all right with that.
Told you,
Tausch.
No, I'm all right with that too. No,
Tausch.
I'm good. Yes, Jason. Yes.
I thought it was Jesse doing the trivia.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason I mentioned it, because it sounded like poker chips rubbing up against each other.
That's how awful it sounded.
Okay.
No. It's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
11:15, okay. Huh?
So when your cats and dogs are barking and you're typing on your computer.
We won't mention that.
We won't do that. You know what, Jason? I'm going to let bygones be bygones.
Clearly you won't. Clearly you are.
I let a bygone.
That
be
was
a
literally
bygone.
The opposite of bygones being
I'm
bygones.
I'm letting it.
I don't
bring
you know
up
what bygones
bygone
are.
Situations is I not letting bygones be bygones.
I futurized the bygone. Okay. I was irritated about the bygone, but now I'm going to let a bygone be a bygone. And I'll zip my little zipper up and I'll pull this out so we're not poker chipperizing it. Where did you want to start now that you got me all wrapped?
It's a nice quarter zip.
Thanks. It's cold out. It's a little heavier than I like from a quarter zip. I love the lightweight quarter zips, obviously, that Iron Jock puts out, but I did go the heavier quarter
zip. Four-way stretch.
Yes,
well, why don't we start with where you and your quarter zip are located today?
Well, I'm down at Sendix down in Oconomowoc. We got a fun little collab that I'm doing today with Joe Thomas. We got a little collab that we're going to be doing later this afternoon. So that's what down here. Obviously, they got the cookie walk and all the great specials going throughout the holiday season at every Sendix throughout the greater Milwaukee area. And so I'm down here plugging along, and we'll see. I can't tell you a lot more because it's going to be released later, but I'm down here at Sendix, and we got a collab with Joe.
So wait, is Joe Thomas, does that mean in some way it is a grocery store? Is Meat Santa involved in any way?
I can't get into that, Jason. Oh. But you can deductively reason probably what would make sense, and that might.
Seems like a good fit.
Okay.
All right, so you and your quarter zip, and I, me and my kerchief and mon or hat, I'm curious. You said you were not going
to
the ESPN Madison holiday party at Madison Axe. I was there in spirit. I joined the wildly popular Jim, Matt, and Molly program, during which a lot of people were very distracted, I assume by people chucking axes. But is it true that you, much like Meat Santa, surprised everyone by showing up?
I did. So Max had a game last night. I was not sure. When I first saw the invite, I thought we were actually going down to Janesville, which obviously I would not have been able to go. It was a home game. And last night, as we were sitting there, Eleanor and I, Sarah's a little under the weather, so she did not go. But Eleanor and I had to drop Max off at the rink. And as I did, the JV game was playing first. So I had about an hour and a half. And I thought, you know what?
Why don't they play the varsity first? It would seem to make sense to play the varsity first,
because
that's
with
the more important game.
Take it up with the scheduling, folks. that is not even close to being the equivalent, but I digress. So I asked Eleanor, I said, hey, do you want to go? We're having our company party and, you know, come along. And she said, yes, that sounds fun. She's always up for some fun adventure.
Sure.
So we walked in. Jesse and Sadler and the whole team. It was a nice, warm welcome by everybody. And then Eleanor and I went to – we've never been – I've never thrown axes like that. I've split wood with axes as a kid. So I'm – you know, I figured I'd be all right at it. And so we took on Rachel and Jesse Nelson in an axe-throwing contest last night. And I'll let Jesse tell you how that went.
Tausch cooked us. Tausch is really good at axe throwing, it turns out.
How do you become good at axe throwing?
I don't know, but he did in 5 minutes. He walked in and he didn't know a single thing about how to hold the axe or which axe to throw or what he was throwing at. And within 5 minutes, he was telling the people running Madison Axe what they should be doing. Like, he was the expert on everything because he was so good at it. It was really frustrating.
Yeah, we smoked them. Eleanor and I smoked Rachel and Jesse in a pretty big way.
Yeah. Here, for those who are watching.
Oh, we have video evidence?
Oh, of course there's video, yes. And this is so annoying that the one video that I took of old T throwing an axe ended up being the throw that it ends up looking like here. So if you're watching on our video stream, we're going to play it right now.
Ooh.
So old T.
Can you do play-by-play?
Yeah, he gets a little message from the gallery, steps up, two hands on the axe above his head, fires right on the bullseye in the little right corner of the target. Perfect throw. We zoom in. Look at that. It all lights up. Pew, 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 because he nailed it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You're a hero.
A perfect
shot. No, it's not heroic. It's just go about your business.
How do you... So here's... I have a myriad of questions, as you probably would expect. Starting with... How do you get? Are they? These are not real axes, obviously. They're some sort of electronic device.
No, they're real axes.
No, they're real axes. Yeah.
So, but yeah. They hit something that causes it to light up without damaging the lighting system.
So it's a projected computer screen.
Ah.
And there are sensors for based on whichever game or target you're playing.
Okay.
It'll light up and it registers where the axe lands on the wood panel that you're throwing it at. Yeah.
So then my next question is, how do you manage to get it to arrive at the wood panel with the axe actually ready to go into the wood? Are there other throws that aren't as expert as Tausch's that, like, the handle ends up hitting instead because it rotates too much?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is...
That's commonplace?
This was one of the best throws of the night for anybody that was axe throwing last night at Madison Axe. This was just, you know...
Look at the swagger,
so,
by the
and
way.
Then he goes... He turns around and he goes, I'm pretty good at this. He just nails it right
on. I believe
target.
I said, is that good? Because I wasn't sure. You know, you think you want to hit the middle.
Were
then,
you?
You know,
were you not sure?
No, it was pretty. It was all right. It was all right. Now, Eleanor, I was nervous for Eleanor because you have to be, I think, 10 plus. And Eleanor's small. Now, she went up there with much might, but she, in fairness, she didn't get to eat supper last night. She didn't deliver. She struggled throwing.
She had some got of those protein muffins.
No, she needed some of those protein muffins. She enjoyed it. But what she did end up doing is she took on our manager in one of those games where you take the and you try to spin it around a hook. There's like a loop
yeah.
ring.
Seen that?
I don't know the name of that game, but it is a lot of fun. Yeah.
She just crushed in that, and then she crushed in bags. And I should have let her. Jesse and I actually ended up playing ring toss. If you can believe that, last night.
Onto a Tito's bottle?
Well, we didn't bring enough Tito's bottles. We should have. But
we're standing around, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, there's ring toss. And I'm like, well, we have to play.
What are the odds of that?
Well, and the ring toss, in fairness, Jesse did beat me in ring toss in a tight match. But half of the board was broke. Like, there was one missing piece. And I usually throw it to that
of
ring.
Of course, so that one, yeah, obviously.
I felt like I was, but Jesse did end up finishing me off in ring toss. So a very fun night, great job by our team. And, you know, Jason kind of spurred me on last night when he tried to compare that he went to more holiday company parties than me. That really put a spur in my britch, and that spurred me on to basically tell Jason, that's crazy talk. And so Jason, thank you for the motivation last night. I appreciated that.
Well, I'm glad I could provide that level of motivation for you.
Jesse
and
threw one-handed, too, which I wasn't sure. He was throwing the axe with just
is that IPT?
One hand. I don't know the rules. I didn't know anything about anything when I walked in there, but I think Jesse wanted to show off and show how strong he was, even though – the person teaching Eleanor and I specifically said two hands over the top, and you want to make sure, kind of to your point, Jason, you want to spin it the right way so that you're not handling it. Hit the handle on the wood. You don't want that. You want that axe. Strike it in there. But Jesse said, no, I'm going to throw one-handed. And in fairness, Jesse scored all the points. Rachel didn't put any points up. And no offense to Rachel. But those are the facts of what happened.
I'm not sure that was necessary to tell the world.
But it's the
that.
Truth, Jason.
I think we both kind of felt like Aaron Rodgers on the 2022 Green Bay Packers. Like, we were trying to carry our team along, but we had Alan Lazard and we needed Christian Watson and Jordy
Nelson those were the
and
Devontae same person.
Adams. And yeah, we needed more than what we got from our respective teammates. But Tausch was victorious and I wasn't, so hats off to old team.
Congratulations on throwing your teammates under the bus. So, one last question on this.
Sure.
Like the old Bare Naked Ladies song, so dangerous you have to sign a waiver. Is there a waiver involved when you're throwing these?
Yes, there is.
There are waivers, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That's what I was curious about. I want to get to Jeff Hafley and what he had to say about Rashawn Gary. But before that, I need to hear what Tausch has to say about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, ensure your home remains comfortable before all of this brutal post-holiday winter. And I'm telling you, there is nothing better right now. It's cold. Snow is flurrying around. Sit in your nice chair. Look out your beautiful Pella windows and realize oh my gosh, this is nice. All this heat is staying in. And I also get to look out at these beautiful, bright, clear, new Pella windows to see all that snow falling. Oh, baby, and anything better. Unless you get zero interest for up to 24 months at Pella Windows and Doors. And guess what? You can all the way through December 31st. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Just take that picture and understand you want to save a bunch of money. You want those energy bills to stay nice and low. Pella Windows will help you provide doing that. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details.
We'll get Tausch's take on what Jeff Hafley said about Rashawn Gary yesterday. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Back and forth yesterday for about 20 minutes with Jeff Hafley. We may be running out of those Thursdays with him as more and more people expect him to be an NFL head coach next year, but we'll see how long it lasts. And that back and forth included a discussion about Rashawn Gary. And he, Tausch, could not have been more supportive of a guy who has not been ultra productive as a pass rusher over the last five games. The numbers for, before we hear what Jeff Hafley had to say, the numbers for Rashawn Gary over the past six games, zero sacks, 16 quarterback pressures, three quarterback hits over the last six games for Rashawn Gary. Tausch, I want you to listen to this and tell me, and look, Jesse, is my question attached to this? Because we were kind of back and forth talking about a variety of other things.
It is not. Okay. I don't think there's an interjection in the middle. No.
Right, and it's kind of an. We were talking about other stuff, and it was a little bit. It wasn't clean, as coaches like to say. But basically, I tried, Tausch, to ask him a question that, you know, gave. It was brief, which is rare, but the question was basically, how do you get Rashawn Gary going? Because I didn't want it to be, you know, why does Rashawn Gary stink, right? I wanted it to be open-ended and see where he took it. And this is where Jeff Hafley took it.
Again, and I say this truthfully, Rashawn's playing the run game, and I know you don't want to hear about the run right now. Rashawn's playing the run game way better than he did last year, in my opinion, all right? We're not getting many drop-back passes. We're getting seven-man, six-man play action protections where it's about rushing and converting. And a lot of times you got a tight end and a tackle on you, you got a tackle and a back on you. So at the same time, he's not getting as many opportunities, right? And then even on these third downs, we're getting more runs and screen on third down than I've ever been a part of. So do we want him to have more pressures? Certainly. I'm giving you a reason, and yes, I am defending him because I actually think the guy's playing really well, right? And I think a lot of times you look at I think people look at things very black and white when you have to look deeper into it, right? And just because a guy might not have pressures in a game or sacks in a game, that doesn't mean he didn't play well. Micah Parsons didn't have a sack in the game last week. Micah Parsons had an unbelievable game last week. I mean, he had totally affected the game, but he didn't have a sack. So if you're going to be results-based, then you can call it what you want. But if you want to look deep and look at the whole process and how he truly affected every play, he had a really good game. You know, if hopefully we'll get a chance to get in a game where the ball's going up in the air and there's a lot more drop back passes and he'll have more opportunities to rush.
Tausch, your initial reaction to that answer?
Well, obviously, he's going to defend his guys. And the Micah Parsons part of it, I couldn't agree more. Hugely impactful. Mm-hmm. Changes the way teams approach things. And Jeff Hafley's right. The Bears didn't want Caleb Williams dropping back to throw because it wasn't going to end well. If he had to, he had to scramble out and get out of the pocket. And that was something that I think Green Bay next week will have to really take a long look at and figure out how to kind of keep him contained in there. As far as Rashawn Gary goes, yeah, there's some truth in what he's saying about the run game and everything else. But we saw this. They went after him with bootlegs. And Rashawn Gary lost angles and lost contain on some things because he's, you know, selling out to try and do things. And I believe, you know, that Ben Johnson attacked him. I think he tried to find some options to do that. And in this play action game, this is how teams are going to attack this defense. You can't just sit back and think you're going to be able to, you know, drop back and throw consistently with this group with Micah because he's too good. And they know that. So, you know, Jeff Hafley said, well, screens, all this other. Has Rashawn Gary been as impactful as Jeff Hafley hoped when they picked up Micah Parsons? The last 6 weeks, the answer is no. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to come out and say, no, we need to play Enagbare more, because you want to get the best out of Rashawn Gary. But J.J. Enagbare has been more impactful than Rashawn Gary this last 6 to 8 weeks of the season. It's just, and by the way, don't ask me. Don't listen to Jeff Hafley. Go look at the stats. Just go look. Words are one thing, and they can try to tell you the story. His Micah Parsons commentary there is 1,000% right.
Right, and it's not – no one's saying that Rashawn Gary should be Micah Parsons, because if Rashawn Gary was Micah Parsons, the Packers wouldn't have traded for Micah Parsons. But Rashawn Gary played 40 snaps. Micah Parsons played 61.
Yep.
Micah Parsons had 3 quarterback hits and 8 pressures, the most given up by the Bears this season in that game. Rashawn Gary had 1 quarterback hit and 3 pressures. To your point about J.J. Enagbare's play, the defensive coordinator agrees. He can wear the I agree with Tausch t-shirt. He said the play that Enagbare made on the third down before the interception on fourth down was the biggest play in the game.
Huh. Interesting.
It was interesting. It was very interesting.
I totally agree.
Well, of course you totally do. You said that earlier in the week.
I literally said it Sunday right after the game when Homer was going bananas on me.
Yeah, it was enormous.
What game you're watching? Rough. Yeah, Jeff Hafley is, I think he's really.
And then you texted him.
Yeah, I did. Jeff Hafley is a really good coach. And if he leaves, we will miss him a bunch. Like a bunch. But guys, you put your guys out there that you believe are going to help you win a game. Who was out there when the money was on the table on third and short?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, if Micah Parsons needs a blow, he needs a blow. Micah Parsons, I don't ever want him coming out of the game. Even if he's tired, I want him going. Now, obviously, there's times you need and you want him to be recharged. But Micah Parsons, I would think in playoff games and when you start getting into it, I don't think he's going to come out. If he does, it's going to be 1 or 2 plays and that's it. So Rashawn Gary, he's a strong guy. He has not had the monster season that we all thought he would. And by the way, he started off. There's still a lot of football to be played.
He did.
There is.
So to your point, because I went back and looked for my story on Channel 3000. We all thought, everyone on this panel, and probably everyone who follows the Packers as a fan or an analyst or a beat writer, the dude had 4.5 sacks in the first 3 games.
Yeah.
And then they've played 13 games. In the last 10, he has 3.5 sacks. And on top of that, obviously, 0 in the last 6 games. And look, we all know sacks are not the only measure of whether you're being productive. And if Rashawn Gary had the same resume and draft status, origin story, as Kingsley Enagbare, this wouldn't be as big of a story, right?
But I was told that salary and money doesn't factor into what your expectations are. I was told
you weren't told that by me.
But I've been told that that's all junk, and you just saying that explains exactly why that's junk.
4-year, $96 million extension in October 2023. He is under contract through the 2027 season. JJ Enagbare is a free agent after this season.
Yeah, they will have to redo Rashawn Gary's deal or trade him, would be my guess, after this offseason. With all that said, Jason, he is still sitting. He's at 7.5 sacks. If he goes and gets 3 sacks and ends with 10.5 and with some pressures, everybody is going to look at this and say, I'd still wonder what Green Bay will do, because I don't know if you want to have 65 or 70 million bucks with your two edge guys. And one of them, you know, Micah, you're going to pay until the wheels fall off. Rashawn, I don't know about. I think that's much more questionable. But if he gets to 10.5 sacks, people are going to look and say, oh, he's finally in double digits. Oh, he did this. But has he been as impactful in the fact that he was going to get a lot of one-on-one? And he has gotten a lot of one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And he has not won as many as he or everybody thought and felt like he should. But that doesn't mean he won't. But obviously, we would have loved to have seen more, especially these last 6 weeks. But this is where your big money guys have to show up. And maybe it'll be Rashawn Gary, like he did when I called him elite, when the San Francisco 49ers could not block him in that 13-10 loss. Go back and watch the film. They couldn't block him. They couldn't. And obviously, he blows his knee out. It has, however you want to spin it. But that was when he was at his peak. And we hope that he can refine that.
We will see what Gary does in the final several weeks of the season. To Tausch's point, he has 4 games left to accumulate 3 sacks, which would get him his first double-digit sack season of his career. We will get to the Green and Gold game preview coming up next after I tell you about Grubelofs's. David and his team, they're the best. They're the undisputed champs. And they make sure that you are taken care of if you've been injured in an accident. 414-276-6666. You know what that is? It's the one call to make. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. Go to the website, gruber-law.com. Find out more about everything David and his family do in our communities, the great lawyers that they have on their team, and, of course, the successes they've had as well. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. The Green and Gold game preview is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Packers travel to Denver as favorites over a team that has won 10 in a row and is playing at home. Time now for the Green and Gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the Green and Gold game preview.
Did you guys know the Green Bay Packers have only ever won one time in Denver?
And Tausch and I were both there.
Yes, we were.
I was looking up the all-time series history, and don't spoil too much, because that's a trivia question coming up when we play in a little bit. But
well, then what'd you bring it up for?
I thought that's a fun fact. One time ever the Packers have won in Denver against the Broncos?
But we can't talk about it because that's a trivia question?
Yeah, do it when we get to the trivia.
You couldn't come up with a different question?
Well, not when it's great moments in Packers-Broncos history, and there's only one moment where they won at Denver.
So are all three questions about that one game?
No, one's actually about a... Never mind. You'll find out.
Can't Can't wait.
What is the big storyline as we get set for Packers Broncos in the Mile High City Sunday at 3:25, Tausch?
Which defense is going to create more turnovers? To me, is what this game's going to be, because I think both groups are going to dominate the game, and it's going to come down to who is going to make the big plays. Offensively, I think Green Bay is a much better team. I think Denver is going to have some answers for what we do. I like our quarterback a heck of a lot better than I like theirs, but just crazy stuff happens. And can you turn over and get, you know, create those turnovers in the short field? I think Denver is going to need that, whether that comes special teams and or on their defensive side of it. Whose defense can make the big plays? I think both defenses will make good plays and be sound and be steady. Who's going to make the game-changing plays? And whoever does that is who I think ends up winning the game.
Yeah, first of all, Tausch is, I agree with Tausch. Tausch is right yet again. You know, they've got really good edge rushers in your guy, La Isla Bonito, and Jonathan Cooper. They've got really good interior guys. Zach Allen is a real problem. Patrick Surtain is arguably the best corner in the league. Their safeties are good. Your guy, Dre Greenlaw, who, if I recall correctly, picked off Jordan Love twice in that, or at least had one of the most important picks in that NFC divisional round when he was back with San Francisco. I mean, their defense is legit, and they've won a bunch of games in the fourth quarter. So they of their 11 wins, 9 of them they trailed during the fourth quarter. So here's my bold thing: whoever wins the fourth quarter is going to win the ball game. Next.
Wow.
I know. Wisdom. Yeah. Ball knower.
Besides Jordan Love and Micah Parsons, which Packers player will most impact the amount of success the Packers have on Sunday, Tausch?
Evan Williams. I think what he does and run support, I think Sean Payton is going to look at what the Bears did, what the Carolina Panthers did. He's going to try and run the football and play action pass and get those clean looks for his quarterback. Evan Williams is the key to that, because if you watch, he gets nosy. He is a really good run stuffer. He's a good run support guy. They don't give up big plays, and I think it's because both safeties are willing tacklers and understand what is going on. But you just hope he doesn't get nosy. He needs to be one of those guys that makes one of those big plays. He did last week. And they took it away from him unfairly, in my opinion. He needs to both be that run support guy that helps, but then also make sure he reads it and can make a play or two on some of those play action passes. He is going to be, I think, one of the key players in this game.
I am very eager to see what Josh Jacobs' playing time looks like. He did not practice on Wednesday. He did not practice yesterday.
Should they sit him?
I think they're at least considering it. Again, he had another scan earlier in the week. There is no structural damage beyond the bone bruise in his knee and the bruised quad right above his knee. But it swells up. He's got fluid in there. It's uncomfortable. He wants to play through it, which obviously is right on brand for him. He had said a week ago Thursday that he wasn't going to miss practices. And basically, the medical staff said, look, instead of having you practice and then choosing not to play you against Minnesota, how about we flip it, and how about you don't practice, and then maybe you can play on Sunday in Denver? Because this ain't J.J. McCarthy. This is a good football team, and they're not going to be able to take the air out of the ball. So I think it all comes down to him. And if he's not available or he's limited, Emmanuel Wilson, who was like a Denver Bronco for like 72 hours. Like, they signed him as an undrafted free agent and then like cut him before they even gave him any opportunity.
Oh, revenge game. Love revenge games.
Not a great job by them recognizing a guy that has been a pretty decent player for the Packers, and is the only one with a 100-yard rushing game for Green Bay this season.
Bonus question in the green and gold game preview. Will this be the only meeting between the Packers and Broncos this NFL season / postseason?
Yes.
Wait, are you saying that this will be a rematch? You believe
he thinks it's going to be a Super Bowl game.
The CBS yes. is telling us potential Super Bowl preview game Sunday.
They're saying that about a lot of stuff.
No, I don't think so. Just this one.
No, just this one, huh?
Maybe Steelers-Lions next week they might say it too. I don't know for sure. All right, that question stunk. The Packers beat the Broncos and continue their quest for the number one seed in the NFC. If blank, Tausch, you kind of said it already, but what would you fill in that blank with?
Well, I mean, I think there's obviously going to be a ton of things that we can't talk about in this, which is turnovers. But Jordan Love needs to rise up and show what all of us believe is that he's just a much better quarterback than Bo Nix. He's going to be more consistent. He's not going to make any big mistakes. If Jordan Love doesn't make mistakes in this game, I think Green Bay will win. I think it's going to be really hard for Jordan Love not to make a mistake or two.
Really,
I think that is what this – when you can pressure people and cover, which Denver can do, it makes it really tough. That's why that run game needs to be really important. Jordan Love doesn't need to be perfect. Jordan Love needs to do his job and not turn the ball. I don't think he can – you know, he made the bad throw against the Bears last week.
Mm-hmm.
Those mistakes typically get you beat in playoff games, and it helped Chicago hang around when maybe you could have throttled them.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the difference. He needs to be markedly better than Bo Nix on Sunday. Like, markedly. He needs to be closer to that MVP than to what we've seen maybe a couple of times this year where he's made some mistakes, and I believe that he'll be able to do that.
Yeah, that's an outstanding answer. I'm going to take the other side of it then.
I'll tell you what, you've been a lot nicer to me since you've seen how good of an axe thrower I am. You came in a little guns blazing with my poker chip deal. Now you're saying, hey, old T, man, you know your ball. You're saying this, you're saying this. And is it a lot to do? Take a look. Is this why? Is this video part of the reason? Look at that right in there. Bam.
Bam.
Boom.
No. And again, honestly, I didn't know it was your zipper on your quarter zip that was making that sound. I legitimately thought Jesse was getting the drawing.
You thought
together.
I was playing with Phil Hellmuth and Phil Ivey? A little match.
I thought
down
he was getting.
Because
he was.
So
you caught
bad.
Me, Jason. You caught me. We got a big poker game. Me, Joe,
what's
Phil
going on
and
over
Phil.
There.
Joe Sendick. Yeah, Joe Sendick. Great
it's the
player.
Sendick's Classic Poker Championship down here.
They just set up. They set up a table in the produce section, and you guys are just sitting around eating apples and playing poker.
We're playing for cabbage. To make kraut
for all the cookies,
yeah. Cookie walk this weekend.
Look, we spent some time talking about Rashawn Gary. Obviously, Micah Parsons is always a conversation. He will talk today. He usually talks on Thursdays, but he's talking to reporters today. LVN, Matt LaFleur said he is very questionable. Still, even though he's taken part in practice on some level each of the last 2 days, I don't think Bo Nix is a developing young quarterback.
Yep.
And that is a process. We saw it with Jordan, and Jordan had 3 years of sitting behind Rodgers before he had a play. All these guys go through it. Some guys like Drake May have accelerated it, right? Some guys like Caleb Williams play for a hack operation 1 year, and then they get a better coach, and while he's got a long way to go before he's the cat's pajamas, he's improved with Ben Johnson. I think Sean Payton, who I still don't think is a better coach than Mike McCarthy, is a really good offensive coach. I think Bo Nix will be a good quarterback in the NFL. He isn't yet. He's had some clutch moments, but I think this is all about the Packers getting after him. We talked so much about the Denver defense today already. I think this is on the Packers' defense, to Tausch's earlier point about whichever defense plays better. If they can rattle Nix and get him to turn the ball over, the Packers have not been great at forcing turnovers. They've had a little bit of a bump lately. I think that's the key for them winning. That is our green and gold preview.
Good preview today.
I thought
good.
It was too. Yeah.
Well, other than that one dumb question that was an add-on, it was pretty good.
Well, hey, guys, the fact that
guys, do you think this could be a Super Bowl matchup?
Yeah, I mean, anything could happen.
Is that better? Is that better or worse than the? Did you know the Packers have only won in Denver one time, but you can't talk about it because it's a trivia question?
Yeah, that's a bad tease. So, for sure.
Just wondering, are we still letting bygones be bygones, or have we thrown that out the window?
No,
just,
I thought we let bygones wondering. Be bygones. Yeah, we're done with the bygoning today,
sure.
I thought.
Okay. Just wondering.
Well, let's play some trivia so we can talk about that 2007 game again.
What is the origin of bygones? No, I'm not going to ask any more origins.
Stop
questions.
Asking about origins.
Whoa, Nelly!
Started with a cakewalk. Jesse, what? Tell us again what this great category is and what color you'd like.
Jason, great moments in Packers Broncos history, and the Packers have only won one time in Denver. It's a fun fact as we head into great moments in Packers Broncos history.
So, since they've only won one time, are you getting caller one?
I just picked random number 20. I don't know what you want to pick. If there's a better number you want to go with,
fine with me. Caller 20 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 20 plays trivia after Tausch tells us about his ring toss competition at Madison Axe and how he threw a ring around the Tito's.
Well, you know, I love Tito's. We love football. We love all the fun stuff that entails. And you know what? Holiday parties, you don't know what to bring over. Grab a bottle of Tito's. Yeah, get a big group. Bring a handle of Tito's. You want to give a gift? Give that scarf. I got to bring my Tito's scarf back out. But really, you just want to sit back, have that roar and fire with a nice cocktail. And, of course, Tito's will be in that glass because Tito's makes great drinks, but they also give back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's handmade vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Trivia presented by Iron Jock and Cousin Subs with caller 20, 844-770-3776 is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
So this is our favorite, right? Of all of our free,
this is good.
Free music.
Yeah,
love this one.
We can let it roll for as long as we want because it's royalty free, right?
Why is that song free? It's a good, catchy tune.
Well, the lyrics are a little sultry. The more I listen to them, and I don't know if we.
You look good on me.
The longer indeed. We let it play, I don't know. We might be fine on YouTube, but the FCC might have something to say about it.
Okay. Well, I wasn't. In fairness, I wasn't listening to any of the lyrics. That's
very catchy, no doubt about it.
One of the tough things when we have two sets of rules to follow around here now.
That's true.
You're a hero, Jesse. I don't know how you do it.
Thank you for your service.
You're pretty dang good. Pretty good.
I don't know if, much like many other ideas that have never actually gone beyond the ideation stage, if this will ever happen. But I do believe this guy would be the number one overall seed if we ever had our Wilde and Tausch trivia contest presented, bracket-wise, presented by Iron Jock and Cousin Subs.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Cousin Subs. Purchase $30 worth of Cousin Subs gift cards this month and receive a certificate for a 7.5-inch sub. And by Iron Jock, performance apparel that actually performs. No stink, just performance. And proudly Wisconsin built. Shop now at ironjock.com.
Jason, if we do pull that off, what's the right number? 32?
128.
Nah, that's too many.
It's either
32 or 64.
Either 32 or 24 with a first round bye for 8 teams.
We're not giving byes in truth.
Then 32. Yeah, 32.
Okay. Giving byes. Come on. Guys want to compete. They want to compete.
Who was the coach that's, is it Pete Gillen or Skip Prosser? Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver. Is that Skip Prosser?
Never heard of it.
This, you've heard that quote. I know you have.
I'm telling you I haven't, and why would I lie about that?
Good line.
Is it? By the way, I don't know if exactly I've ever watched timely. An episode. I love old TV. I don't think I've ever watched an episode.
It's as timely as Dallas and Andy Griffith and all those. Yeah.
Andy Griffith I watched. That was a good show. Floyd. Let's... Barney.
No. I'm sorry.
Thelma Lou. If Thelma Lou is all right now. Thelma Lou. Andy did all right.
It is
Whoa,
Pete.
Did all right.
Is he,
who was Barney's girlfriend in that show?
It is indeed Pete Gillen. Let's welcome in our contestant. I'm just
Jason, I asked
you
a question. Who was Barney's girlfriend?
Oh, I'm aware. I'm aware.
Was it Thelma Lou was Andy's girlfriend or was that Barney's girlfriend?
She got around. I'm not sure. Maybe.
Oh, wow. Oh, what the?
Oh,
you can't
snap.
Thelma Lou? What the blank is going on? That's not what we do here. Jeez. You're telling she was the Lady of Mayberry? Like, what the heck is that? Jerry,
she was listening
Jason
to free music.
Somebody anymore? Oh my God!
Fictional character, I might
what
add.
What the?
Whoa, Nelly!
Jerry, good morning. Welcome. How are you?
Like Otis was getting after Thelma Lou. Otis didn't get after.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I was doing
I'm
all
good,
right.
Although I think I'm going to need some help from whoever. Whoever Tausch texted thinking it was Homer. I just got a text from a 405 area code that says, hey, want to come over? I'm planning to make shrimp scampi. And I'm not making that up. That's on my phone right now. What am I?
Well, you
ask
want
what
some?
Time? What time is the shrimp scampi at?
Seems like some fishing might be going on there. Jerry, if we have a tournament, would you accept your invitation as the number one overall seed?
I don't know if I'm number one overall, but I'd participate.
Yeah.
I love your humility.
Yeah, he's number one.
He would be at the top of the list for sure.
Let's see if you are humbled by Jesse's incredible questions that have prevented us from being able to talk about the Packers and Broncos history. Question number one, Jerry, is this. Before playing the Broncos in Super Bowl 32 in San Diego at the end of the 1997 season, the Packers won the NFC Championship game, which was also played in California, against which opponent? Was it the Los Angeles Rams, the San Francisco 49ers, or Stanford starting 30 minutes after the end of the AFC Championship game?
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
49ers.
Indeed. It's a great picture of Tom Oates in the background of a dejected Steve Young walking off the field at rainy Candlestick 3-com Park.
Oatsy. The GOAT.
Gotta love Oatsy. All right, Oatsy. Question two. You're the GOAT.
All right, Jerry. All right, Jerry, who was Andy Griffith's girlfriend on the Andy Griffith Show?
And did you hear that she got around a little bit?
Wow. Thelma Lou.
Which Packers receiver caught the game-winning 82-yard touchdown reception thrown by Brett Favre with great blocking by the boys up front on a fake 92 bob to beat the Broncos in Denver on Monday Night Football in 2007? Is it Greg Jennings, Ooh. James Jones, or Donald Lee?
Oh, boy.
It was on the left. Hey, just so you know, it was on the left sideline, our sideline, going to the south end zone, 82 yards.
Tirico on the call on Monday Night Football.
Let's go Jennings.
Yes, sir.
So was that the same play that you guys ran in the 09 playoff loss to Arizona, where Rodgers has Jennings open and overshoots him at the start of overtime?
Yeah, I remember. No, that was 99 nude. Getting back to Thelma. Getting back to Thelma, that was 99 nude, which is more of a max protection, one or two man route where we're selling the play action hard, and everybody bit, and we just missed it.
All right, Jerry, a chance for 3 for 3 on the day. Here it goes. Question three is this. Which veteran QB was the starter for the Broncos in Denver's most recent game played at Lambeau Field? A 27-16 Packers win on September 22nd, 2019. Was that quarterback Tyrod Taylor, Andy Dalton, or Joe Flacco?
Oh, boy. I don't remember any of those guys playing for them.
Me neither. That's why I made it the question.
Let's go with Flacco.
Wow. That's why he's the number one seed.
Why he's the GOAT.
Number one.
Jerry, my man. Perfect score.
Right.
3 for 3. You got 4 entries into Friday's drawing. Oh, wait, that's today. Hey, Jesse, do you have those poker chips ready? Because it sounded earlier that you were
just
working on
it. Let me do it.
Now it's not
now you can't do it when you're trying. Oh, there it was.
Yeah,
there. You got it.
We will do it in a little bit. I want to make sure I don't forget before the end of the show with volleyball going on. So we might do it a little earlier than usual.
It's a good idea. Good thinking. Hey, Jerry, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Love you guys.
Love you, Jerry.
That is Will D'Antoush Trivia presented by Iron Jock and Cousin Subs. The 10 o'clock hour of Will D'Antoush, which will include the weekend preview and Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com and our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week is all still ahead. It starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Will D'Antoush, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.